Servant's heart. Let's turn over to Galatians. Galatians. As you're turning over there, I have a favor to ask of you, all of you that have connections all around town. I have these 8.5 by 11 posters for VBS that are on this table. Right as soon as you go out these middle doors and to the left, I need you to take and, with permission, post them on somebody's bulletin board. So, please, with permission, okay? But many of you have connections around town, and I would love for you to use those connections around town to be able to put those posters up and see if we can get some more publicity for VBS, which is right around the corner, and it's going to be exciting. We've got a skit. I'm really excited about that, and I'm so excited that Michelle has volunteered to be the lead role in that. Just kidding. She's going to threaten me with glue in my hair later, and if you've never heard that story, you won't from me. Anyway, Galatians chapter 6. So we started this message. I hope you're there by now, but we started this message last week, and you say, Pastor, you've done a lot of part twos in Galatians. Well, actually, this is like part 19, because I think that's how many sermons I've done in Galatians, and it just kind of keeps going, right? But it will end by verse 18 of Galatians chapter 6. So it is coming up to the end there, and so we might get a few more, but we'll see how far we get here tonight. Trying to finish out that chapter. But in Galatians chapter 6, let's start actually in the verse beforehand, in 26 of chapter 5, getting that bridge verse there. Let's start there and we'll read through. And I'm going to read all the way to verse number 6. Now, if it isn't on the screen, don't worry about it. You just look and view the Word of God right in your lap, all right? And if you don't have one, there's all throughout the pews, there's these Bibles we put out. You can use those. It's pretty cool. And then memorize the books of the Bible while you're at it. Not during the service, afterwards. But anybody got that challenge? Is it coming along for you? Sunday school? Some of you are hearing the books of the Bible in your dreams at night. You can't get it out of your head. It's like a nightmare. Good. All right? I want you to know the books of the Bible. That's my job. All right. So starting in verse 26, it says, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." You say, you didn't read that verse last time. That's because we might be adding that verse onto the end here tonight, depending on how much time I have. But let's pray and ask God's blessing on this time. God, we thank you so much for what you're going to do with the truth that's on display. Lord, just help us to read through it and understand it clearly tonight, and that we may take that and use it in our lives, that we may not ignore it, that we might not excuse ourselves out of it, but Lord, that we may actually apply it. And God, just help us as we do the one another's with our church. And pastors talked about that quite a bit. And help us actually work that out in our church, that we would be committed to one another by doing the one another's of your word, the things that you've commanded us to do. God, help us tonight as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we get into this, verse 26, we remember that is a bridge verse that I used from the previous chapter into this one, the walking in the Spirit, staying out of the works of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, and that battle by keeping it vertical, right? We wanted to make sure that we keep it vertical. We're looking up, because sometimes when we get it together, sometimes when we start getting things correct, we start looking at ourselves, we start strutting our stuff, and we feel like we're the head chicken of the roost, all right? And we're coming around and we're pecking everybody else and saying, you're not doing it exactly how I think you should be doing it. Have you ever seen that in a church before? Anybody? Just two people. All right. Two people are nodding their heads. Have you ever seen that in a church before? Have you ever seen that at your job before? Have you ever seen a rookie come in just off the street and they trained them? In fact, maybe you trained them. And you told them all about what's happening here, and they're very humble in the beginning. You think, man, this is going to be good. I'm going to be able to train this person up. It's going to be great. I'm going to show them how it's done. And then they learn how it's done, and about a month in, all of a sudden, they become the expert at everything. Has anybody ever been in that situation? Okay, sometimes we get in that situation with Christianity and our spiritual walk, and all of a sudden we think we are something. Man, pastor invited me to be a part of the choir. Hear me sing, hear me roar, here it comes, all right? And then we all get all focused on ourselves, and then we start picking at everybody else. Keep it vertical. Don't be desirous of this empty glory that is worthless, that you're puffing your own balloon up, inflating that. Don't do that. Don't provoke one another to division. Don't provoke one another to arguments. Don't be envying one another. And, well, he got that. And we start pointing at each other. Guess what? We're not looking into the author and finisher of our faith. So keep it vertical. And remember, when I stated that, then all of a sudden we understand how we're supposed to be looking at other people. You say, wait a minute, you just said keep it vertical. But yet, when we keep it vertical, God, as we love Him, and as He loves us, we understand that He values others, and He loves others. And it actually says in 1 John that if we don't love our brother, we don't really love God. If we don't love each other, it's showing our fruit is not loving God. It shows where we're at. And it's just don't be come at each other. Keep it vertical and then love one another based on how God values others, how He sees others. As I see more of Him, as I understand more of Him, I can understand one another. I can understand myself better. I can understand who I am as a human being and what my purpose is, what my identity is. Listen, I shouldn't be confused about my identity. When I am in Christ, I am a child of God. I don't have to go searching for other things. When I am a child of God, I understand that God created me to be who I am supposed to be. And that's physically me. I'm a man. I understand that. But I am a man who is now a child of God. I am now what they claim in Scripture as a saint.
Whoa. All of a sudden I get all haughty on myself.
No, I'm not. It's that idea that I can now live as a new creature in Christ. It's different. I walk in a totally different manner. I shouldn't struggle with my identity. And so when I am keeping that focus, when I am keeping it vertical, and then I now am responding and seeing other people and myself in the way that I should, that relates to the next few verses. And we went into point number 2, where it says, we can humbly be used to restore. Restore. Verses 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual. It can be those. Remember, I stated it can be two different ways. I think it can be two different ways. Now, don't take it to the bank in the sense of, well, pastor said this, so it must be. OK, stop. You're missing the point. OK, but I think it can be two different ways in the sense that those who are understanding God, those who are seeking God and now are getting it right in their viewpoint of other people and themselves, those who are seeking after God are those that are spiritual. But it's also those who think that they're spiritual. And he's saying, listen, act out your life in Christ. Stop being a stick in the mud over here and be in the comment section. Stop just complaining about everything and never doing anything about it. Go do something. Have you ever done something like something big? You've had a big project, and whether it be for school, whether it be for something for your kids, whatever that might be, and you've worked really hard. And well, let's just put it into this situation. Let's say you, as a parent, has worked really hard on your kid's project. And your spouse didn't have time to help you out. But you finish it. And you're more stoked about this project than your kid is. Right? Has anybody ever been there before? Okay. You put a lot of labor into this. You put a lot of money. Your kid has no idea. They're just going to take it and then break it on the first day of their diorama or whatever it is. And so you go and show your spouse. And then he sits over in the corner, man, that's just not quite right. What do you want to do? Right? Okay. Because they didn't put any effort into what was going on. Right? It's like, why are you commenting? Go do it. It's the same way within Christianity. You know how many commentators we have within Christianity that are just good at commenting and that's it? They don't do anything. They aren't a part of anything. They only complain about everything. Social media has trained us to do this. We just complain about how everybody else has it wrong and we're not doing anything about it, right? So ye who are spiritual, let's get it together and go do something about it, right? Then he goes, restore such an one. Now, there was something as I was going back through it that I really wanted to point out here tonight. Restore. Do you remember the picture behind that is to restore? It's to mend a broken bone. Now, I had stated last week that when your bone heals incorrectly, the doctor is going to re-break it, correct? So that it can heal correctly. Now, have you ever been in a situation in your life where something happened in a trial and you did not heal correctly from it and you had to, in a sense, be broken again so that you could relearn how to live life based on that? Has anybody ever been that? You don't have to confess that tonight, but I'm just thinking in your mind. Have you ever been there? Okay, now let's take that another step. Now, what if you went to the doctor, you've already had it rebroken, or it's already been mended, they put the screws in, all that jazz, you're now going to go off at the airport every time you go in there, and all of a sudden, the doctor comes in and says, it's looking great, and then he takes out a sledgehammer, and he whacks your leg that just healed. And after you get done screaming, he said, what'd you do that for? Well, I mean, I don't know. I just felt like bringing it back up again. You say, well, where are you going with this? You know, sometimes in our walk, I think this is more personal than anything. Sometimes as we're facing a trial and we're growing through something, we're growing through something, hopefully, and we're mending and we're healing, we don't let it continue to heal. We come back and we break that person over again. You know what I'm saying? Because they have to stay in that broken state where we think that they should be, or that they've been for so long, and I'm just used to them being broken, so I'm just going to keep them there. You know what I'm saying? And so we never really help them out. We just keep them in a broken state. We just keep them in that burdensome state. And there's no real healing. You know, sometimes we do that to ourselves. We just keep reaching back for that brokenness and the burden. And we keep having to get mended for the same thing over and over again. Sometimes we don't forgive ourselves for certain things. And we just keep going back to that trial. Have you ever been there before? Listen, if we're going to heal or help heal, if we are a part of the master's business, the master healer's business, then we should be helping people getting out of that situation rather than keeping them there forever. There has to be healing, and we must be a part of that. God's called us to be a part of that in us sharing that burden. If you remember that burden there that he's talking about, it's something that when you go into verse 2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, it's something that someone really can't handle on their own. It's already overtaken them. They were already weak. They've already faltered in it. They need help. And it might be a long time coming of helping them through it. And that's something that if we want to actually fulfill the true law of Christ and the law that Christ gave, love one another. Other people will know that you are my disciples by your love towards one another. That's how you want your light to shine. And so we come back here. We can be humbly used to restore one another. But we jump into that last point. We must carry our own backpack. You say, what are you talking about? I'll get to that. But we must carry our own backpack. Do you remember last week when I stated that the burden, the word used for burden in verse 2 is different than the one down in verse 5? It's two totally different Greek words. You say, I wouldn't know that. Yeah, it's hard to see that. But in order to understand that this doesn't contradict one another, because you'd read through that and you'd say, wait a minute, that seems like it contradicts one another. It says, go and bear one another's burden. And then now it says, well, bear your own burden. What's going on here? This must not be right. Well, it is right. It's just a different term that's being used. So as we get into this, it says we must carry our own backpack as the point there. Starting in verse 3, it says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And that's going along in those lines that if we think ourselves to be Mr. Hotshot Spiritual, and we're jumping in this situation because we are Mr. or Mrs. Fixer, he says, listen, you are lying to yourself. You are not something in and of yourself. You are not the fixer. You need to keep yourself vertical. Understand that you need His strength and His help to come in and help other people out. It's not all about you. But it goes on and says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, it seems a little prideful in there. But let me try to use another passage to help explain this. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 12 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All right? I believe it's up on the screen there for you. But I'm going to look over here. It says there in verse 12. Okay, now really focus in on these verses because it might be a little bit confusing at the beginning. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So here it is. It's what's going on here is they're going in and they're kind of lifting themselves up and they're going and comparing themselves by other people. Now, we all know that that's not the moment where we're keeping it vertical, are we? At that point, we're starting to compare ourselves to other people. Well, I must be more spiritual than them or I've got it more together than they do or dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blank. But he says that's not wise. It says, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us. A measure to reach even unto you. So he's saying, listen, we're not going to boast outside of what God's given us. The grace that he's given us, we're not going to say, you know, these things I did when I didn't do them. It's claiming victories that you didn't have. It's claiming success that you didn't even be a part of. And he's saying, let's not do that. Only be excited about what God has actually distributed to us. It says in verse 14, "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." So he's saying, listen, we're not going to boast about things that we didn't accomplish. We're not going to put those to our names. We're not going to add that to our belt. We're not going to put medals on our chest of things that we didn't do. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the what? Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So what he's getting at here, as he's and it's the same way in Galatians, he says, hey, listen, don't think you're something. Don't go in here and get all prideful about yourself. But he says, for in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 6, he says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." And it's something that I'm not going to go off and try to claim someone else's deeds and then claim them as my own and think that I'm some hot shot. I'm not going to do that. And Paul in 2 Corinthians is saying the same exact thing. I'm only going to be excited about the measure that God's given me. This is what I'm responsible for. This is what I need to be good steward about, and I'm going to be excited about what God's doing in my life and how he's using me in multiple ways for his kingdom. But I'm not going to go over here and steal someone else's thunder. And this is that push here. Of yes, we are a part of a community, right? We are a church. We've gathered together. And we get to rejoice when others rejoice, and we get to weep when others weep. Yes, I said we get to. That's an amazing thing. But sometimes we rely so heavily on everybody else to do everything that we don't do anything ourselves. But yet we're okay with taking credit for it. We're okay with everybody else doing all the work. Did you ever have a school project? Let's go back to that school project. Do you ever have a school project and man, you were motivated, you were organized, you put it all together, and your partner did absolutely nothing. And when they showed up on grading day, they said, hey, let me carry that for you. So, oh, that's so nice. They're actually going to carry it for me. Okay, yeah, sure. You're just ready to just present the project, right? You're just so excited, you're not even thinking. And then your partner comes in and he says, look what I did, teach. Check out my project. And then she says, wow, that's great. You did a great job. Yeah, I know. I know it's great. I put so much effort into that. He said, that's not fair. He or she didn't do their part in the project, but then they took the glory for it. You understand what Paul's doing here? Is he's telling people to go out and do the one another's. And don't go off and rejoice in someone else's work like you did it. But prove your own work. Prove what you've done. Step up to the plate. You be a part of it. You be a part of the work in reaching out. Well, you know what? I hope Pastor sure reaches out to that person. That's the deacon's job. They need to reach out to that person. That's the only way that they're going to get fixed. And yet, I'm not so sure that in this passage that he stated, pastors go bear one another's burdens. He's talking about the whole entire church. He's talking about the whole entire church. And when you're involved with someone and reaching in and exhorting someone and coming alongside and helping them out, then you could say, wow. God did an amazing work because he didn't go in and say, hey, let's bring all the riches in for me to be put up on a pedestal. He says, let him that glorieth, what? Glorieth in the Lord. Yes, I'm going to prove my own work. But you know, after all that, you know that nothing within myself was from myself. Do you know the Holy Spirit's within me to help me and has given me the gifts that I have to be able to go and do what I need to do? I can be nameless while God gets the glory. Have you ever been there? And I'm convicted about this. I don't know about you, but now, sometimes we just try to reach our, you know, hey, I did this. I did this. I struggle with this. I did this. Wait a minute. Who did that? God did. He gave you the ability. And so it goes on here and it says in verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. So you say, what are you talking about? With that word burden there, it's actually a term where it's relating to the capacity that an individual can carry. Or even some has related it to what a ship's capacity, what it could do in a day's journey. It's something that can be done on your own. So it's a totally different burden than he was talking earlier. We have a burden that needs to be managed by multiple people, all because they're keeping their eyes vertical. And yet he comes back in here and he says, listen, don't try to float your boat by relying on everybody else's work. You do your part. And God has given each one of us our backpack, our load, something that we can handle. Remember, he's given you grace for today, not tomorrow, not yet. That's coming. When you wake up tomorrow, that's your grace for it then, tomorrow. But today, you have been given a fanny pack to carry around. It's got your stuff in there. It's got what you need to get the job done. So what happens when we say, oh man, I just don't feel like carrying this burden today? You
you know what, David Mattis, he can handle this. Here, David, take this. I'm going to check out. Oh, Kevin, here you go. Take my load. It's just too much for me to handle right here. And yet, it's the very load that God's given us to be able to handle and be a part of the one another's. So what happens? I wonder what happens when we start to take all of our backpacks that are made for individual labor, something that we need to be proving ourselves. I wonder if we take it all and we put it on one person. I wonder if that's where verses 1 and 2 come from. Have you ever thought about that? I wonder... Pastors relayed this before. The statistic on pastoral suicide is absolutely outrageous. Counterman's, when they were here, he shared about how many missionaries are coming off the field for a wide variety of things. And not just go to that. I mean, think of certain teachers in our church that might be a little overwhelmed by all the things that they're doing, or just certain people that you just don't realize all the things that they do within our church, within our community, and you just expect the cobwebs to be cleaned out. That's what's supposed to be done, you know, right? But you know, when we all start handing those backpacks off to people where we've been given all these talents to be able to do, and yet we start handing off these backpacks, pretty soon that weight becomes too heavy to bear. And guess what? They start getting their focus off of Jesus. And they start focusing on the burden that they're bearing. And then they start to become bitter with everybody around them. That's just one reason why verse number 1 and 2 is there. The burden's too heavy to bear for one individual. So do your part. Reach out. See the need. Identify it. Get it done. You know what? And one of our biggest outreaches is coming up. Have you heard about it yet? Does anybody know what the biggest outreach of the year is? Oh, good. You've been listening to the announcements. I thought everybody tuned those out. Okay. Vacation Bible School. You know what? When we get done with that week, it's kind of normal to come up to the leadership of the VBS and say, wow, you did such a great job, man. You held it all together. This year, if you do that, I'm going to say, listen, it wasn't me. It was our church. That's keeping it vertical. And they balanced this out. And they made it happen. Because they believe that God's got a plan. And he's going to use us. It's not just one person. It's the whole body. You know, when things go wrong, when things go right, that's not just on one person. That's on the whole body. Right? If we haven't come together to do our own work. Listen, this is a church. These are the one another's. This is what we need to be a part of. So carry your own backpack. Just like I need to carry mine. And you know, each one of us have our own unique backpacks. You know that? Do you know, if you want to look at Tina's backpack, it's probably going to have cheetah print or Answers in Genesis on it. Okay? That's what's going to happen. All right? I don't know. Jackie might have, like the world on hers because she likes geography, but it could be a lot more than that. Neil, it could be, like his trike. You know, he really likes that. All right, he could have that on his bike, on his backpack, and it's characterized. And you say, what are you talking about? Why are you trying to differentiate by everybody's backpacks? Listen, we all have different backpacks because we all have different gifts. We all have different
different measures that's been given to us in different ways. Listen, you all can connect with someone else in a way that I cannot connect with that person. And so it's not pastor's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job. It's everybody's job. It's every single one of us to be able to reach out. And all the people that haven't been in these pews lately, guess who needs to reach them? The church. Do you know if every single family reached out to the families that haven't been in the pews lately, I wonder if they'd get the picture that they need to be with one another. I mean, we'd probably rack up their minutes if there's anything like that anymore, right? I mean, they must care about me. Yeah, we do. Let's show it. Let's not be over in the corner. I can't believe they're not in church. Don't they know? Yeah, they do. They do. Sometimes we don't keep it vertical. Start looking at all the things that are all around us. And we get distracted. And we need someone else to come alongside of us and to do the one another and say, hey, let's look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because he's way bigger than all the things that's going on around us. He's way bigger, and his purpose is way bigger and better than anything we got going on around us, right? And we all need it. I don't care who you are. Pastors need it. Missionaries need it. Sunday school teachers need it. Choir members need it. Ushers need it. Everybody in this room or watching over live stream needs these one another's. So do what God called you to do. I'm going to throw in this last verse here because I believe that this is a bridge verse. In verse number 6, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, the reason why I think this is a bridge verse and not something totally separate, because if you ever read some of Paul's letters where you get into the end and in the last chapter or what we've designated as chapters, all of a sudden he does like all these random things at the very end. He just throws in a bunch of, hey, I need you to remember this and remember this. It's like the grocery list of things right before you go on vacation, right? And you get this and then you get this, and it's just totally... It feels like it's totally random. I don't think this is. Because some people would grasp this verse out and say, hey, listen, I think this is about those who, let him that is taught in the word, so those that are out in the flock, communicate, which means share, unto him that teacheth in all good things. So that means that you need to pay your pastor. And that's mentioned elsewhere in Scripture, okay? I'm just not seeing that here, because if you get the context of what's going on here, do you know that the one who is coming to bear another's burden is going to help bear that burden by teaching you the Word? You know what I'm saying right there? When you come into this verse, let him that is taught in the Word... So the one who has been taught, the one who has been discipled, communicate, share, fellowship in with him or her that teacheth the one, the discipler, in all good things. You say, what do you mean? We must share in the results. Connect the points here. All right. So if someone needs a burden that's too big for them to bear, right? If they've got this burden that needs to be shared by someone else, that someone else is going to come in and communicate truth to them. What? The Word of God. They're going to help them with the Word of God because that's the only thing that's going to help them with the burden. That's what's going to help. And so that person comes in, communicates, disciples, exhorts, helps them along the way because they've kept it vertical. And Lord willing, there will be success. there will be results. Now, the person who is discipled and helped should not forget the one that helped them. You know, sometimes we get so excited by being alleviated a burden that we forget the one who helped alleviate the burden. And we just walk off like, man, I did some great stuff there. He says, hold on. You share fellowship in the good things that have happened because someone else has helped you through this. Don't try to be a loner. Come in here and still fellowship in, share in the good things that God has done for you. Let's illustrate it this way. What if a child is, as soon as he, let's use Mason because he's not here, all right? He just turned 18, right? And he just graduated, so he's going to go out on his own. What if all of a sudden, Mindy and Josh worked really hard, and they just surprised him with $50,000? Wouldn't that be nice, Tyler? Yeah, that would be nice. That'd be really nice, wouldn't it? Just surprised him. Said, here's $50,000 in cash because we believe cash is king, right? Dave Ramsey, all right? And they go and hand that big old wad. Can you imagine how heavy that would be? It's a lot heavier than your debit card, right? And they just hand that over to him. He says, wow, that's amazing. I've never seen so much cash before in my life. And he goes and he takes that. And then he goes to his buddies and he says, look what I got. Yeah, this is all me. It's all me. And he goes out and he relishes in this and he just glories in this. And he goes and he does his own thing with this. And he said, wait a minute, whoa. Who worked super hard to help you get a jump start in life? Because I don't know if you remember back when you graduated. That was a big burden. Did you ever feel like you were just kind of drowning? Like, these are some big decisions that I got to make. And I can't mess this up. And if I do, I'm in trouble. So Manny and Josh are trying to help him out, right? And try to get him on his feet and get him started. Hey, go put a down payment on a home. Or just buy a home in Taylorville, for crying out loud. I mean, it might be a little small home right now, but just get out on your feet. And he goes out and he just relishes in this all. And him, he's like, what are you doing? And then he forgets. He forgets all that was committed to him, the hard labor, the blood, sweat, and tears that was put into him. He forgets and he walks away. You get the picture? Somebody comes in, steps into your life, loves you, puts in the labor, carries the burden with you, loves you through it, and then there's results. You should probably go and say, thanks for putting some input into my life. You should probably go and just love on them. Because they might be a little worn out. They might be at the end of their rope. Maybe now they needed their own burden to be helped with, right? And he says, hey, let those who've been taught and communicated help them. Or they should be reciprocating and sharing in those good results. What's going on? Help them turn around and do the same thing back and to love on those who've loved on them. Isn't that a good idea? That would get us more focused on loving one another and appreciating and showing gratitude. I think you've been teaching on that on Wednesdays, right, Pastor? And showing gratitude and thankfulness for those that God's been putting into our lives to help us to move forward. And then all of a sudden, it's not focused on me and all the things that I've done. I'm appreciating others that God has put in my life. And now I'm not glorying in myself, but I'm glorying in God. All that he's done. This is all about the one another. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for what you have displayed for us tonight and the one another's.
We do need to care. We need to keep it vertical. We need to reach out. We need to share in the results. We need to carry our own backpack. God, you've given us a job to do. You've given us the grace for today. Help us to use it correctly. Help us to go and reach out to others. Help us to love one another through this, to fulfill the law of Christ. God, help us to care enough. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.